What if the propeller on your airplane could fold itself away when you didn't need it anymore? Not feather, not windmill, actually retract. Tuck back into the nacelle like landing gear on a Bonanza, clean and deliberate, so the wing behind it becomes something aerodynamically different than what it was a moment ago. That question has been floating around advanced propulsion circles for years. A company called Wayfarer just got close enough to an answer that NASA decided to fund a demonstrator. And the airframe they chose to retrofit? A Cessna 182. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar before we get into the engineering. A quick word from the people supporting this broadcast. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, retractable electric propellers on a Cessna 182. Let me explain why this is actually a significant story, because the headline almost undersells it. What Wayfarer is developing isn't just a different kind of motor. The concept is a blown wing retrofit. That phrase carries a lot of weight for anyone who's studied boundary layer control, so let's break it down for the rest of the panel. A blown wing uses the wash from propellers or fans to accelerate airflow over the top of the wing surface. When you do that, you dramatically increase lift at low speeds. The wing is generating more lift at lower airspeed than it could on its own, because the air moving over it is moving faster than the aircraft is actually flying through. The result is shorter takeoff rolls, lower stall speeds, and steeper approach angles. It's not magic, it's physics. But for general aviation, the practical implications are significant. Military aircraft have used blown flap systems for decades. The Lockheed C-5A Galaxy uses boundary layer control. The Douglas A-4 Skyhawk used it. Research programs going back to the 1950s showed that a properly designed blown wing could reduce stall speed by 30 to 40% compared to a clean configuration. That's not a marginal improvement. That's the difference between an airplane that needs 5,000 feet of runway and one that can operate out of a grass strip that would otherwise require a bush plane. The reason this technology never made it into piston general aviation is weight, complexity, and power. Blowing a wing with engine bleed air requires plumbing that adds weight and failure modes. Doing it with dedicated fans or propellers means you need dedicated power for those systems. And on a gasoline engine, you're robbing from your main drivetrain. It's always been a trade-off the economics of light aircraft couldn't absorb. Electric propulsion changes that math. Here's what Wayfarer's concept actually does. The retrofit involves multiple electric props distributed along the leading edge of the wing. During takeoff and climb, those props are spinning, blowing air over the wing surface, dramatically increasing lift. Once you've climbed out and reduced your angle of attack, you don't need that extra lift anymore. The props retract, they fold back into their housings. The wing resumes its natural aerodynamic profile, and you're cruising with a clean airframe instead of an airplane bristling with additional drag-producing components. The test demonstrator was a 1/3-scale Cessna 182, not a full-scale prototype, a scaled model, which is how NASA evaluates concepts before committing to full-scale hardware. That's important context. This is not a production airplane. This is not even a full-scale experimental. This is a carefully instrumented proof of concept designed to validate whether the blown wing effect performs as the models predict when you put it on an actual airframe and fly it. The fact that it reportedly performed well enough to keep the program moving is the real news here. A lot of propulsion concepts look great in simulation. They fall apart in flight test because the real aerodynamic environment is messier than the models predicted, or the prop wash interacts with the wing in ways that create unexpected control challenges, or the retraction mechanism introduces vibration that the airframe doesn't like. Getting through that phase of testing on a scaled demonstrator is a genuine milestone. Now, why a Cessna 182 specifically? The 182 Skylane is one of the most capable light single-engine aircraft ever built. It's been in continuous production in various forms since 1956. It's a known quantity. Tens of thousands of them are flying right now. The structural and aerodynamic characteristics of the airframe are documented better than almost any other light aircraft on the planet. If you want to demonstrate a retrofit concept that could scale into the existing GA fleet, the 182 is a logical starting point. It's not exotic. It's not rare. It's the airplane that already exists in hangars across the country. There's also a practical argument for the 182 as a blown wing candidate. It's a high wing configuration, which puts the wing in a cleaner airflow environment for the distributed props to work in. It has a relatively conventional wing without a lot of the complex geometry that makes some airframes harder to retrofit. and it has a reputation as an honest, stable flyer, which matters when you're introducing propulsion changes that will alter the low-speed handling characteristics. The broader context for this program is the Federal Aviation Administration's interest in advanced air mobility and the emerging class of electric and hybrid electric aircraft that are going to need new certification frameworks over the next decade. NASA has been funding a series of research programs under its Aeronautics Mission Directorate specifically aimed at developing the data that regulators will need to certify novel propulsion configurations. This is not NASA building airplanes to sell. This is NASA building airplanes to generate data. The distinction matters for how you interpret the Wayfarer program. When a company says their aircraft performed well in NASA-backed testing, that's worth taking seriously, because the test conditions and instrumentation behind those programs are rigorous. It's not a company running their own numbers and telling you the results. The question that doesn't have an answer yet, at least not publicly, is energy density. The reason electric propulsion hasn't replaced gasoline in general aviation is not the motors. Electric motors are efficient, reliable, and powerful. The reason is the batteries. Avgas contains roughly 100 times the energy per pound that current lithium battery chemistry can store. That gap has been closing for years, but it's still the fundamental constraint on electric aviation range. For a blown wing retrofit designed to reduce stall speed and shorten takeoff roll, the power demand is highest at low speed and tapers off once you're at cruise. That's actually a more favorable duty cycle for battery technology than a pure electric cruise aircraft, where you need to maintain power output continuously for hours. The Wayfarer concept, if it works as described, would use electric power most aggressively during the phases of flight where it provides the most benefit and fold away when it's no longer needed. That's a sensible way to manage the energy budget. The honest answer is that nobody outside the program knows yet how the energy math pencils out for a full-scale, full-duration flight. That's what the next phase of testing is designed to determine. What does this mean for the person listening who owns or flies a Cessna 182 today? Right now, practically nothing. This is early-stage research. We're talking about a 1/3 scale demonstrator, not a supplemental type certificate you can call your FBO about. The gap between a successful scaled test and a certified retrofit for your personal aircraft is measured in years and millions of dollars in additional development. But here's the longer view. If a blown wing retrofit can genuinely reduce stall speed by 30%+ on a Skylane, you're talking about an airplane that lands at speeds closer to what a Cub approaches at? From an airplane that cruises at Skylane speeds? You're talking about access to airstrips that are currently too short for a 182? You're talking about steeper stabilized approaches that give you more margin in confined terrain? For bush operations, mountain flying, backcountry flying? Those performance characteristics are not incremental improvements. They're qualitative changes in what the airplane can do and where it can go. And if the retrofit path proves viable, the installed base matters. There are more Cessna 182 airframes flying than almost any other complex single. A technology that can be retrofitted to an existing airframe is a technology with a ready market the moment it's certified. The competing approach to this problem, building clean sheet electric aircraft from scratch, has significant advantages in terms of airframe optimization, but starts from zero in terms of the fleet. You have to certify a new type, build a manufacturing line, train maintenance technicians, establish a parts supply chain. A retrofit approach that works on airframes already out there sidesteps most of that. The maintenance infrastructure for a Cessna 182 already exists in every corner of the country. I'll note that AVWeb covered this one, and their reporting is worth reading in full if you want the technical detail on how the prop retraction mechanism actually works and what the test data showed. The reporting on the scaled demonstrator gives you a clear picture of where the program stands. The NASA angle here is worth underscoring one more time. Federal funding for advanced propulsion research in general aviation has historically been inconsistent. There have been programs, then budget cycles, then gaps. The current environment where electric aviation, advanced air mobility, and urban air mobility have captured serious attention from both regulators and research agencies represents a relatively unusual window of investment. Companies working in this space right now have access to government-funded testing infrastructure and data-sharing arrangements that would have been much harder to access even 10 years ago. Whether Wayfarer converts that window into a certified product is a separate question. A lot of promising programs have generated excellent test data and never made it to market. The development path from scale demonstrator to certified retrofit is brutal, and most programs don't survive it. But the fact that the technology is being developed, tested rigorously, and generating data that goes into the public domain means the knowledge doesn't disappear, even if this particular company's path doesn't pan out. Aviation advances incrementally. The blown wing concepts tested in the 1950s fed into the boundary layer control systems that eventually made it into production military aircraft. Research that looks like a dead end often turns out to be a building block for something that comes later. The value of a program like this is not only in whether Wayfarer gets their retrofit certified, it's in what the community learns about how distributed electric propulsion interacts with a conventional GA airframe in real flight conditions. That data is genuinely useful regardless of who eventually builds the product. Here's what you need to know if you're following the electric and hybrid electric propulsion space. The near-term story is not the aircraft that will replace your current airplane. It's the research programs establishing whether the physics of the new propulsion architectures work the way the models predict. That's the gate everything else has to pass through. Wayfarer's scaled demonstrator just passed through it. What comes next is where it gets interesting coverage on this. One comes from AVWeb, which has been tracking the advanced propulsion space consistently. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Stay ahead of the weather.